Okay, we're going to focus tonight on something we've said a million times and try to give a little more thought to something that we do differently on Shabbos than every other day of the week in terms of our tefillah, and hopefully give a better understanding of Shabbos in general as a result. So if there's anything that we change on Shabbos to our tefillah that's more frequently unique than any other thing, it's the addition of Perek Tzadik Beis in Tehillim, which is Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. So we actually add that three times over the course of Shabbos. We say it at night in Kabbalah Shabbos. We say it in the morning in Pesukah Dezimra. And we also say it again, the third time, as the Shir Shoyom after An Mizmiros. And if we're going to make that addition so many times over the course of Shabbos, it's something easy to look at, we would imagine, to be something that's really going to open our eyes and offer some perspective about the depths of Shabbos and what we can add to our experience of Shabbos. So first question is, where does that come from? How do we know that we say it so many times? It's a Perek and Tehillim. Okay, great. But why do we choose that Perek and Tehillim of all things? So if you look at the source sheet, the first thing on the list is the last Mishnah in Maseches Tamid. The last Mishnah in Maseches Tamid talks about another subject we have in davening every Shabbos. Hashir shahayu halavim omrim b'migdash, b'yom harishon hayu omrim l'shem ha'aretz u'meloa, tevel v'yoshveva, b'sheni hayu omrim, etc., etc. It goes through each day of the week. The Shir Shoyom that we say at the end of davening in Shacharis comes from the same Shir that the Levim would recite together with the Karbonos that were brought every morning to the Beis HaMikdash. So what they said, we don't have the Karbonos, but as a Zecher for what they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash, we recite the same chapter in Tehillim that they would say every single day. When you get to the last day on the list, B'Shabbos HaYomer Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. So that's exactly what we do. After An Mizmiros, we say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos because that was the Shir Shoyom that they said in the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Levim said. Now, it's interesting to note, we'll come back to this, that's not where the Mishnah ends. The Mishnah refers to the Perek, and then the way the Levim actually said it was a little different. On Shabbos, they would say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, Mizmor Shir La'asid Lavo, Liyom Shekula Shabbos, Menucha L'chay Olam. In addition to the way that we introduced that Perek in Tehillim, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, they also added on Mizmor Shir, this is a perek of song, La'asid Lavo for the future, Liyom Shekula Shabbos for the day that is going to be completely, entirely Shabbos, entirely Menucha L'chay Olam forever and ever. Okay, we know that from benching. Benching we add in the Harachman that reflects that Lashon. But something's unusual over there because it doesn't reflect itself in the way we add it to our davening, but at the same time, it was something very important and therefore added to the text the way the Levium said it. So another thing we need to try to understand. But our practice, obviously, is not to add that. The Rav's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, did used to say it. Rav Shechter writes in one of his svarim. So let's keep that in mind, and hopefully we'll come back to that Mirz Hashem a little bit later. So again, if we say it so many times over the course of Shabbos, if Chazal inserted it into the Siddur so many times, there's got to be a lot for us to learn. And especially if it's the Shir Shoyom of Shabbos, we'd imagine that it has a lot to do with Shabbos. But at the same time, it's a little hard to tell. For one thing, if you look at Rashi, the second source over there, Rashi actually pushes you away from that association. Rashi says, "Liyom Shabbos she'omrim oso b'Shabbosos v'umedaber be'inin ha'olam haba shekula Shabbos." It doesn't actually relate to the Shabbos that we have, it sounds like Rashi's saying, right? Rashi seems to be saying, "Omrim oso b'Shabbos," we do say it on Shabbos, "V'umedaber b'inyan ha'olam haba shekula Shabbos." It addresses olam haba, which is entirely Shabbos, but it's almost like it ignores the fact that, hello, we're celebrating Shabbos right here, right now. So why is our Mizmor Shir, why is our Shir Shoyom, it's so distant, it's so far away from us, but at the same time, it's our Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos that we're observing. So how are we supposed to tie it back into what we're doing right here and right now? Forget about olam haba. What about right now? Furthermore, if you look at the actual words of the Perek, again, it's hard to see the connection to Shabbos. After Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, after the initial introductory pasuk, Tov Lahodes Hashem, Ulezamer L'Shem Kol Yon. Okay, so it's good to praise Hashem and to sing to His great name. So, okay, that's true, but every day of the week is like that also, right? What's unique about Shabbos? And then we continue, L'Hagid Baboker Chazdecha V'Emunoscha V'Leilos, to talk about Hashem's chesed in the morning and the Amunah Hashem at night. So every day and every night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're all appropriate times and they're all relevant times to praise Hashem for His chesed and for the Amunah. So again, where do we see the unique connection to Shabbos? That's the question. So the answer begins If you look in the Sefer of the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Zev Salvechik, Chidushe Marn Riz Halevi Al HaTorah. So in Parshas Bereishis, he starts to talk about some of these issues. And he points us to a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nun Dalet. And the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nun Dalet tells us that there are some Brachos that we say that are praises about things in nature. And specifically, the Gemara over there mentions, the Mishnah over there mentions, there's a bracha you make when you see a shooting star. When there's different aspects of the Bria that we're exposed to, so there's a bracha, Olsim Asibrachos. So you learn from there that when you're exposed to the wonders and of Hashem's creations, that calls for a bracha. And therefore we make a bracha, and Chazal instituted brachos. So he says, you know what? Who wrote Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos in the first place? This parak of Tehillim, the Gemara tells us, even though we associate the Sefer Tehillim, all 150 prakim, with David HaMelech, so he wasn't the author of every single one. He compiled them, and he authored many of them, but he wasn't the author of every single one. So this particular Mizmor, Tzadik Beis, was actually written by none other than Adam HaRishon himself. So Adam HaRishon, just like that Mishnah Brachos and Daf Nun Daled, which addresses making brachos when we encounter the Bria, Adam HaRishon was the first person who encountered the Bria. He saw the culmination of all of the 6 days of creation heading into Shabbos. So Memela, when he witnessed that completion of the creation, right, what does it say in Pirkei Avos? It says in Pirkei Avos that Hashem created 10 things at the last minute during Beit HaShemashos, in the interim twilight zone between Friday and Shabbos. So it was only when Shabbos actually began that the Bria was entirely complete start to finish, even those last 10 things that were created at the last minute. So what's the very next pasuk? Ki smachtani Hashem befa'alecha u'maisei yadecha aranin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you brought me joy with your work, with your craftsmanship, what you created, u'maisei yadecha, and that which you fashioned with your hands, aranin. I will celebrate. So it's beautiful. Adam HaRishon is the author of this Perek of Tehillim, and what he's doing is, in the same way you give a bracha, Osam HaSabrashis, when you encounter that part of nature, that chiddush of the Bria, Adam HaRishon was the very first person to encounter that chiddush of the Bria, and his immediate reaction was to sing, to give praise to Hashem, just like we also had that praise. It would be great if we sang it, but the praise in the form of the bracha, when we also encounter the chiddush of the Bria that we experience. So that's what he says. That answers our question in terms of why this is relating to Shabbos. Why it relates to Shabbos. So that we can live with. I think that makes a lot of sense. But I don't think we're totally out of the woods. I don't think we fully answer the question we started with. If this is the Shir Shel Yom of Shabbos that we say every single week, three times on that Shabbos, each Shabbos. So we can send it back to Adam HaRishon, but make it relevant to us. Where's the aspect of Shabbos that we're praising, even in that parallel to Adam HaRishon? Again, where does the connection come to us? So let's go a little bit deeper. In order to understand this, we need to ask a question on what the Brisker Rav just said. Brisker Rav said, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, great. That is Adam HaRishon praising the Bria. However, you got to ask yourself, if that's the case, why did Adam HaRishon wait so long to praise Hashem for the Bria? Right? It wasn't just when Shabbos came that there were chidushim, that there were new things that were created. You know, there were on every single day there were new things that were created. It's true, Adam HaRishon wasn't around for all of those, but if you pick the grass, you know, the grass was created on the third day. Once that happened, it was pretty much static. Nothing really changed with the grass going forward. When Hashem put the sun and the moon, the stars in the sky, so that was about it. They stayed the same for the rest of their existence, and they're still the same today. So Hashem finished each one of those things, and he finished many of those things. So when Adam HaRishon was created, so there were lots and lots of chidushim in the Bria for him to encounter and to experience, and he didn't make a bracha on any of those. And even if you tell me, okay, so he wasn't around for them, even if he experienced them when he was created, but you know what? What about Chava? You know, Chava was created whether Adam HaRishon was split in two, as one opinion of the Gemara says, or part of him was removed, and from that Hashem built a Chava. That was a chiddush to have another human being. That was a chiddush, and yet there's no Shira. The Shira comes only at the end of the day, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, when Shabbos begins Friday night after every last thing was created. So what's up, Shana? Why did Adam HaRishon wait to give that praise? So I think we have to start with this. Rav Pinkus, in his Sefer Shabbos Malkus, I hope hope some of you have seen it before. It's a beautiful, beautiful sefer. In the first parak, he explains the following. There's a concept in gematria known as the kolel. Kolel usually means like inclusiveness, right? It's something which encompasses. Kolel is a concept whereby if I come up with a gematria and I do all the math and it works out except I'm short one, so then we're allowed to say that it still works. Why? Because I can count the word as one. So all the letters add up to 499, 500, that extra one that I'm missing, the word itself represents it. So sometimes people hear a gematria that comes up one short, and whoever's giving the gematria throws in the one more, the kolel, and people react to that and say, oh, you know, sorry. Clearly the idea is that gematria is not exact, gematria is not so perfect, so if it's a little bit off, it's also okay, we can let it slide, we'll ignore the extra one. But that's not the pshat. That's not an old pshat. And he gives the following mashal. He says, let's say you have a table, and I would tell you, take your kitchen table and break it into different parts. So you'd have four legs of the table, and you'd have this top, board of wood that sits on top of the legs. Now, if you put the table back together again, and you'd ask a person, do you see five parts like you did before when it was broken? No. They would say, I see one table. There's one unit, and it's a new unit. And it has a significance in its own right, on its own, when it puts all the different pieces together. So yes, there are five pieces that are now a single piece, but when those five pieces come together to make that single piece, there's something brand new. If someone walks into your kitchen and you ask them, oh, what's that over there with the chairs next to it? They wouldn't say, oh, that's five pieces of wood with a sheet on top of it. No, they would say, it's a table. Because when all five pieces are together, something new has come into existence. And the same thing is true with gematria. Yes, every single letter has its own significance and its own value on its own. However, when they are put together, each letter, despite its individual significance, takes part in forming a brand new independent unit that has chashivas, has significance by itself. And that's the kolel and gematria, that we connect all the letters together, but when we do connect all the letters, they're no longer individual letters. They're one word, and that word itself can be included in the cheshbon, can be included in the calculation because of the shlemus, the chiddush that has now been introduced to us that can be counted on its own. Likewise, Rapinkis says something beautiful. He says Shabbos is very much like that concept in gematria. Shabbos has the power to bring together and connect every single one of the 6 days of the week that come before it, and everything that happened during those days. Shabbos isn't just the seventh day in a calendar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And it isn't just the end of the week. But it's a day that's mitzarif, that connects and brings together every single thing that happened during the course of that day in a way that allows us to perceive the malchus of Hashem in a way that we can't absent Shabbos. Our resting on Shabbos demonstrates and projects to everyone the emuna we have in Hashem, that we believe in his hashgacha pratis, the fact that he's behind the scenes running everything that takes place in the world and directing and choreographing and orchestrating all the events and everything that takes place and everything specifically that happened in the 6 days before it. That's what the Rav said. He writes, he said in one of the Yotzei Shirim, that in the same way that a person, chas v'shalom, is machal Shabbos, we treat him as a kofer. It's like he's missing core beliefs in Judaism. So it has to be, by extension, that someone who is a Shomer Shabbos demonstrates very strong emunah in Hashem. I'm not going to work today. I'm just going to shut down. I'm going to shut off my phone, turn off my computer, and not do anything for one day of the week, even when other people in my industry are doing work. And I believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to have my back, and it's going to be okay even without that. So that's what Shabbos does. That's what Shabbos does. And with that, we understand what the Ramban writes. Famous line of the Ramban in Parshas Yisro. He says, every single one of the days of the week, when we say Shir Shal Yom, we begin with Hayom Yom Rishon Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, Yom Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos. Why? So he says that's a fulfillment of what it says in the Aseres Hadibros, Zohar as Yom HaShabbos Kacha. Remember the day of Shabbos to honor it, to sanctify it. Meaning that we can count each one of the days of the week on its own. Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. However, we always have to have one eye out Yom Sheni b'Shabbos, one eye towards Shabbos, through which Shabbos always stays in our head. And we're always pointing our thoughts and our focus towards Shabbos throughout the rest of the week. But beyond just an awareness and a cognizance that Shabbos is on the way, hang in there, Shabbos is coming kind of thing, it also helps us be koveya and establish our goal, our end game, and our ambitions towards a goal of holiness, towards Shabbos. And therefore, we have to remember that everything we're doing, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all of those involvements and pursuits and business and whatnot, it can't be totally divorced and disconnected from the way we rest on Shabbos. Even though we think of it as like at the end of Friday, there's like this sudden stop, interrupt everything, and then keep going the next week. No, there's a very strong connection between what happens before Shabbos and once Shabbos begins. Let me try to explain. Baruch Ber, the great Talmud of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, once asked his Rebbe a question. He said, the Gemara says in Yuma, Gemara tells us that if a person does tshuva me'ava, all of his averos, even the things he did on purpose, HaKadosh Baruch Hu translates those into a zuchus. So he asked him, I can't swallow that. How could it be that I on purpose did an avera, I violated the will of Hashem, and at the same time, a violation of the will of Hashem is ultimately going to be a source of a merit, of a reward, of a schar from Hashem, a zuchus? How could it be? It's like an internal contradiction. It doesn't make any sense. So Reb Chaim answered him something brilliant. He said, it's true. When I do the avera and I violate the Ratzon Hashem, you got it. That's exactly what it is. It's a violation of Ratzon Hashem. But the moment I do proper tshuva, lemafreya, retroactively, the avera that I did is a hechsher mitzvah for the mitzvah of tshuva. In the same way that you can chop down wood or bamboo and use that to build a sukkah. So just chopping down the wood, it's not a mitzvah. Only when I use it later to perform the mitzvah, then we can look back and say, oh, the chopping down the wood itself was a preparation for the building of the sukkah. And if it was a preparation for the building of the sukkah, there's something valuable and holy about chopping down the wood as well. So he says, once you do tshuva, you could not have done the mitzvah of tshuva if you didn't do the avera first. So when I do tshuva, l'mafreya, retroactively, my avera is a mitzvah, and that's something that you can get a reward for as well. Now listen to this. That's the mashal in the world of tshuva. Let's go to Shabbos. If you look at the sources again, the Rambam tells you there's three reasons why there's a halacha of muktzah on Shabbos. We're going to focus on the third, but I'll give you the first two just quickly. Why is there a concept of muktzah that certain things I can't pick up and I can't move on Shabbos? The first reason he says is because he says, look, if I'm not allowed to speak the same way on Shabbos as I speak during the week. There's certain things I'm not supposed to talk about, certain weekday business matters I'm supposed to keep off the table. I'm not supposed to speak the same way on Shabbos. So he says, I'm also not supposed to move and act and behave 100% the same way on Shabbos. So we limited certain items that you don't really need on Shabbos necessarily from moving them, because otherwise you're sitting at home all day on Shabbos. You don't have so much to do. You're not at work. So you're going to start moving things from place to place, reorganizing your furniture, your closet, whatever. You can do spring cleaning. And he says, at the end of the day, if you could just move anything you wanted on Shabbos, you would not be able to accomplish L'man Yanuach. It wouldn't be a day of rest. It would be a day of spring cleaning. That's answer number one. Answer number two, he says, because if I was able to pick up something that's muktzah, at some point, I just might forget and use it for something, for a malacha, the hammer I picked up because I moved it from one place to another, I'll go banging a nail that I meant to hang up a picture before Shabbos. But then answer number three is fascinating. Look at that answer number three. He says, V'od, another reason. There are plenty of people. Some people in Klal Yisrael, they don't have a job. El b'tein koy mem, they're not doing anything all day. Maybe they're kigona tayolim, yoshrei kronos. Could be they're stama batlin. Maybe they're tired. They're very rich. They don't have to go to work. And kol yamein hein shovs malacha. And you know what? In general, they're not really doing much over the course of the week. And if they could do everything that they could do during the week on Shabbos, nimsa shalo shovas shavitz nekeres. In the end of the day, if we don't put some limitations on how they behave on Shabbos, they will not perform a shvisa hanikeres. Shvisa hanikeres means that it's not enough just to rest on Shabbos. your resting on Shabbos has to be recognizable. It has to be clear. But if you rest on Shabbos and you rest every other day of the week, then something's missing from the what you're supposed to be doing on Shabbos. Your shvisa is not nikeres. It's not recognizable. It's not clear. It's not obvious. It's not self-evident. So therefore we say, slow down. You can't do this, you can't do that, even though you could do it the rest of the week, because it's dafka in the transition between what you do on Friday and what you do on Shabbos, where we see the fulfillment of Shabbos come. That's what the Rambam says. So likewise, even though we have lots of things to do on Shabbos, although this is strangely, reminiscent of the people, this week who are spending a lot of time just sitting around, but even we who have a lot of things to do during the week, there's something we can take from this. What the Rambam is saying is that all the work we do during the week, whatever it is, whether it's schoolwork, whether it's a job, whether it's a form of entertainment that requires malacha, in theory, it can be a form of avodas Hashem. Anything. Why? Because what I do during the week ends up developing an indispensable and inextricable connection to my resting on Shabbos. Because what the Rambam just said, if you don't do anything all week and then you rest on Shabbos, you haven't really rested on Shabbos. Unless I see that contrast, the resting isn't so meaningful. So memela, just like doing an avera, then doing tshuva, transforms all of the averos into a mitzvah. When I rest on Shabbos, when I put a full halt to what I do during the rest of the week, lemafreya, everything that I did over the course of the week, all the schoolwork, all the jobs, everything I did, is retroactively transformed into what I needed to make the Shabbos rest a Shabbos rest. Because if I wasn't doing all those things, there would be no contrast between what I do during the week and what I do on Shabbos. So everything I did, all the malach I did during the week, lemafreya, becomes a hechsher mitzvah and is totally bound up in what I do and what I don't do on Shabbos because of what I did do during the week. How much more so? And that's when I'm doing work during the week that has nothing to do with Shabbos. I'm just taking a midterm online or on Zoom. That's when I'm disconnected from Shabbos. How much more so when I'm actually doing something for Shabbos? Just an example, quickly. The Gemara in Beitza says, Shammai Hazakin, he would go in the marketplace. And the way he would fulfill Zachar, Siyom HaShabbos HaKadosh, remember Shabbos every single day of the week, if he'd see a nice animal that looked delicious, he'd buy it and bring it home. If on the next day of the week, he saw an animal that looked even more delicious, he took that one home and he ate the first one. And this could go on several times over the course of the week. So that when he ate his last best animal on Shabbos, lemafreya, retroactively, every meal that he had, every single one of those steaks that he had earlier in the week, he was eating l'kavod Shabbos. Because since he ate the best one on Shabbos itself, eating the lesser ones, the lower quality ones, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, was the way in which he contrasted his behavior during the week and his behavior on Shabbos. So going backwards, he was keeping Shabbos in a certain sense every single day of the week. So there is no disconnect between what we do before Shabbos and what we do on Shabbos. Rather, this is the key. What we do on Shabbos is able to transform everything we did the 6 days prior. In the same way doing tshuva transforms the avera into a mitzvah, everything I do on Shabbos transforms all the malachas I do as the setup in order to make Shabbos the way it's supposed to be. So with all that background, now we're going to try to answer all our questions. The Beis HaLevi says, it's only when Shabbos came in that the entire Bria was complete. Because as we see in the Pasuk, and as we say in Zemiros, Kivo Shavas Keil Mikom Alachto, it was Dafka on Shabbos that Hashem rested from all of his work. That's when the Shvisa took place. Not after Hashem finished creating each and every individual, after he created the lions and the tigers and the bear. That wasn't a rest. There was a stop. It wasn't a rest. It was only when everything was created. That's when there was Kivo Shavas. Why? Because every little piece of what Hashem created over the course of the week was really a piece of a puzzle, a much bigger picture that was only seen and could only come together when the very last aspect of creation was in place, and that's when Shabbos came to being. And it could be, to answer our question, why did Adam Rishon wait till Shabbos came before he sang Shira? Didn't he experience Chiddush of the Bria beforehand? The answer is no. The Chiddush of the Bria could only be perceived when everything was in place. because it was that last step that transformed every other puzzle piece into the big picture. Yoni, that was for you, right? As long as you're missing that last piece in the puzzle, you don't really see the whole picture. There's always something you're missing. Only when each piece comes together, then you see the whole picture. And that's what happened on Shabbos. That's what happened on Shabbos. By the way,
it was really disappointing.
That's what happens, by the way. The Chazal say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka give the Torah on Shabbos? Because in the same way the physical world was completed, Dafka on Shabbos, he wanted the spiritual world to be complete on Shabbos, which is why Rashi says in Brachos, Yom HaShishi, Vayichu L'Shamayim Va'aretz. Every other day, it doesn't say Yom HaShishi, what's the sixth day? The sixth day is Vav Sivan, because that's when the spiritual dimension had a Shabbos where the completion came together. So with that, Rabosai, we want to bring it home to us. Not just to think about how Mizmor Shilu HaShabbos relates to Adam HaRishon and how it relates to the creation that he witnessed and that he encountered, but it means something for us also. Shabbos also creates a Chiddush. In the same way that Adam HaRishon witnessed the Chiddush when everything came together, like the Beis HaLevi said, we have a Chiddush every Shabbos as well. Like we've been explaining, Shabbos has the koach to transform, to turn everything I did in the previous 6 days, which were all mundane things. It was mili da'alma. It was my homework. It was my job to become retroactively a hechsher, the background upon which my shvisani keres, my recognizable Shabbos rest occurs, in contrast to what I did the previous 6 days. So memela, what I did those last 6 days are suddenly holy and exalted things. And the Chiddush is the Chiddush that comes to us in that transformation. And that's why we say, Rabosai, Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos. That's why we give a praise on the Bria of the Chiddush. In the same way that Adam HaRishon witnessed Shabbos bringing a fulfillment and a wholeness and a Chiddush of creation to the physical creation that God put together in Sheis Yemei Breishis, we give praise to Mizmor Shili Yom HaShabbos because of the completion in the way that the 6 days now had this connection to Shabbos. And even though the creation finished thousands of years ago, Shabbos is still machadesh and makadesh, but only after we put in those 6 days of work, and then we refrain, then we step back. When Shabbos comes, menucha comes. When Shabbos comes, kedusha comes, because of what we now refrain from. L'mafreya. And then the final goal of the whole Shabbos is realized. This parallel, by the way, between the way Tshuva transforms and the way Shabbos transformed, is demonstrated in a medrash, which it's just startling how much it brings out, Baruch Hashem, what we've been saying. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives his Moser Shmuz to Kayin for killing Hevel and sends him away and punishes him, so it says, Vayetze Kayin. Kayin went out. So the medrash asks, where did he go out from? Was he inside and he went outside? What's Vayetze? So one opinion of the medrash says like this. Reb Chanan Bar Yitzchak Omar, Yota Sameach. He went out happy. The reason for that is because we identify happiness and going out from a pasuk in Shemos. You see it on the sources over here at the bottom. The pasuk says, by Moshe Rabbeinu, when he comes back to Mitzrayim, Hashem says that Aaron will be Yotze L'Krasecha V'Rocha V'Samach B'Libo. Going out, it implies an encounter of happiness. What was this encounter? What was the simcha? Pogabo Adam. Kain finished with the Moser Shmuz from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he bumped into his father, Adam HaRishon. Amar lo, ma nasa bidincha. Adam says, Sonu, what happened in your court case? What did Hashem say? What was the verdict? Amar lo, asisi tshuva upisharti. Kain says, I did tshuva, and I came to some sort of compromise. I have some sort of understanding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu going forward. Hischil Adam at piach alpanav HaKadosh Baruch Hu started hitting himself over the head. And he said, kach koch ha-tshuva v'lo ha-yisi odeya? That's the power of tshuva, and I didn't realize that? Adam HaRishon, he did his own aveira. And up until this point, he never thought about doing tshuva. Kayin exposed him to that concept of tshuva. And look what happens. Miyad omad v'omar, immediately, Adam HaRishon got up and said, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos Tov L'Hodos L'Hashem. He said, our parakin Tehillim. He said, why is he saying that right now? Because it's exactly what we've been saying. In the same way that tshuva has the koach to transform l'mafreya, he associated that, he represented it, he symbolized it, he paralleled it with the notion of Shabbos, the Chiddush of the Bria, bringing everything together in a new way that transforms everything that was created up until now. Unbelievable connection. And with that, we can answer one more question. There's a fascinating halacha. After a couple gets married, so they have a week of Sheva Brachos. And the halacha is, in order to recite all seven Sheva Brachos at the end of the meal, in the benching, you need to have someone present at the meal who wasn't at the wedding itself. And those are called Panim Chadashos, new faces. That's a simple pshat, new face, right? And one understanding is because when they come, when my friend who wasn't at the chuppah, he wasn't able to be part of the simcha, and now he comes and takes part. So there's a new level of simcha that can raise the occasion, and that gives us the means to mark it with these additional brachos of the Sheva Brachos. So that's Panim Chadashos. There's one exception, Shabbos. On Shabbos, you don't need people who are not present at the chuppah. Shabbos, you don't. Shabbos are considered Panim Chadashos themselves. The question is, what does that mean? Shabbos is Panim Chadashos. Is that going to be a new person who now I'm more besimcha because finally they got to partake in the simcha? So if you look through Shas, a number of places, Chazal have a term. It's a figure of speech where they use Panim Chadashos to refer to something which was created in one fashion and maybe broke and then was refashioned or fixed, and now it's like a new item again. If I had a shoe that tore and it was tummy before, and now I can sew it up and fix it back and put it back together again, it's tahor because it's like a brand new thing. And the Gemara calls that Panim Chadashos Bolakan. New faces come here. What does that have to do with anything? Rashi says in Bava Kama, Tzadivam Beis, on that line, Panim Chadashos, Lo zuhi levena harishona el zu levena acheres. It's not the same brick as it was before. It's a new brick. So Derech Drush, that answers our question. Based on what we said, every Shabbos has a transformative power to take everything I did during the course of the week to be a hechsher for the Kavod Shabbos, for the Shvisa and Ikeres on Shabbos, and gives those acts of malach I did the whole week a new level of Kedusha. In a way that essentially, that's where we have Panim Chadashos Bo'olakan. A new transformation. Everything now takes on a new essence and a new quality and a new personality. And we praise Hashem for that koch that Shabbos has. And with that, we can understand what Tosfos says in Ksubas. Tosfos says in Ksubas, Dav Zayin, Omri, Panim Chadashos in Kore El Bidnei Adam Shemar B'Mishvilim HaSimcha Yoser. The when adding new people to the celebration during the week of Sheva Brachos, he says it's got to be someone who would actually encourage me to be more happy than I was before, or to increase the simcha of the meal. If you have a waiter there who wasn't at the wedding because I don't know him, he's not my friend, and now he happens to be at the Sheva Brachos, so it's very questionable if you can count that person as Panim Chadashos because they don't really add simcha. Tosfos continues. V'Shabbos t'chashvin Panim Chadashos. Frek Tosfos is our question. Why is Shabbos considered Panim Chadashos? And this is what he says. Damlinam ba'agada, mizmor shir li yom ha-Shabbos, omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Panim Chadashos bo'olakan, nomar shira. Hashem himself declared that Shabbos is a day of Panim Chadashos, where even that which existed before takes on a new identity. Let's say shira. So that transition, that's mamash what we're saying. That transformation demands Shira. And that's why Adam HaRishon broke out in song Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, and that's why we say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos every single Shabbos, because we also experience that transformation as well. Let me close Rabbi Osai with 5 more minutes. The Brisker Rav continues in his piece in Bereishis, and he says, there's another connection that we can appreciate in why that Perek of Tehillim Tzadi Beis relates specifically to Adam HaRishon. What did we say before? Ki simachtani b'falecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have gladdened me with the work that you did to create this world. Right? And the work of your hands, so I'm going to celebrate that. What does it say afterwards? The next pasuk is, it's in source number 3, Ma godlu masecha Hashem, ma'od amku machshvosecha. How great are your maisim, Hashem? And how deep are your thoughts? So the Brisker says there are 2 things going on in that pasuk that embody the praise that Adam HaRishon made to Hashem. The first is what we've been discussing all along. Ma gadol asach Hashem. Unbelievable, everything you created. But the second aspect is ma'od amku machshavosecha. How deep are your thoughts? How intricate is your master plan? The Medrash says that Hashem showed Adam Rishon on that day, at that moment, when he was created, on Erev Shabbos, he showed him every leader of every generation who would ever live. And he showed him everything that would occur in every single generation until the end of time, till Mashiach comes. That's ma'amku machshavosecha. How profound is that plan that you have for the future? Even if it doesn't make sense to the people experiencing it every moment, but it's going to make sense when they can perceive what I can perceive, which is all the way how things pan out in the end of time. Those are the machshavos. Machshavos HaKadosh Baruch Hu midor l'dor. So based on that, the shevach of this mizmor is on the entire Bria as it is, the Ma'asecha Hashem, Agol Ma'asecha Hashem, and also on how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have history march along eternally until it gets to that point. What is that point? What is that point? That is what we introduced, the Yom Shekula Shabbos. In Olam Haba, that's the Yom Shekula Shabbos. And that perek is therefore most appropriate for what we're talking about. And it's appropriate for both aspects. What do we say in the Mishnah Talmud? B'Shabbos hayu omrim, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. And then they would add, Mizmor Shir L'Asid Lavol Yom Shekula Shabbos. Because both aspects are contained within the Bria. The chiddush that we experience on this Shabbos and the experience that we'll have in Olam Haba when we can look back on all of history, not just on the look back on every week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but look back on all of history, every single year, and every single tragedy and travail and suffering, and see how it all fit together as a hechsher, as something that was there as a preparatory stage to get to where it was ultimately supposed to be. And bring about the culmination of history the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. And with that, so it's sort of like a microcosm. Our week, we're being charged to remember that our week, everything we're doing, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, as mundane as it is, as unholy as it may seem, as just normal and routine and weekday-like, keep in mind that it's marching towards Shabbos and it'll have that redemption and transformation and Kedusha added. In the same way that ultimately, the Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos that we're going to say at the end of time is also going to look back on all of history in that same way. And I think it's something to think about when we go into this Shabbos where we're still suffering and there are people still dying and the hospital beds are full and they don't even have enough room and they're bringing in boats to have floating hospitals and they're opening up makeshift hospitals in all kinds of locations. My grandmother, my wife's grandmother, she is almost 99 years old. She lived through the Depression. She lived through World War II. She's lived through almost anything you can think of in the last century. And she says things were never like this in America. The panic and the pachad and the fear and all the measures that are being taken. We're in Esara. We're in Esara on a global level for Klal Yisrael and for many individuals. Every single one of us has names of people we need to daven for, to be safe and to keep us safe, because no one's immune, no one is 100% protected. Mr. Hashem will see an end to this soon, but most importantly, in the same way that Shabbos is going to take everything you did this past week, transform it and imbue it with Kedusha, one day Mr. Hashem will be zocher to see how this whole pandemic is gonna end up and what the tachlis was and what the purpose and how this was ultimately part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. And we daven Meher B'Yameinu should be able to see that very, very, very soon. And I want to wish everybody an amazing Shabbos. And
the recording has stopped.
I see there are a couple of